You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want to preach to you this morning, and teach to you, I guess, probably more so than preach, but teach to you something this morning that's, everybody take your finger, lick it, and go, it's hot. I have two hot messages, but I'm only going to be able to get one out. Ken, he asked me last night. He was working out at dance. He says, you know what you're preaching on? I said, I do. Boy, I tell you, I got one really good one that I'd love to preach on. Man, it's hot, and I really want to do a little bit more studying on it. But be ready, because the next time I get to preach, you know, which may be a while, but the next time I get to preach, I'm probably going to teach on bearing the name Jesus. And if I just talk about it anymore, I'll just probably preach it. So let's not do that. But bearing the name Jesus, we are bearers of the name of Jesus. Amen. And so anyway, that's a really good message. But today, I want to teach to you about remembering, bringing to remembrance. And these are notes from this morning, and I don't actually need these right here. Today, I want to, remembering what Jesus has, you know, God has done for you, what you know, your experiences in life. And kind of as an example here, we might be a little different, but I'm going to do the prayer request at the end because I've got a point to this. And so what I want to do first is I want everybody to think about something God's done for you, whether it be financial, whether it be, you know, physical, you know, mental, whatever it may be, just a miracle or, you know, something where God's touched you, met your need. Okay, and I don't have all my ushers. Pecos is already, he hasn't made it back yet. So we can kill the cameras if we have to for a minute, just a minute, Ted. But if you've got something in, that you can jot down real quick, I'm going to have them pass out some of the blue cards to a couple people. So if you've got a miracle or testimony, and I don't, you know, if everybody raises their hand, that's great. We don't have to have everybody, but I want you to write something down if you can. And on the back of the card where it's blank, I want you to put the category, healing. You know, finances, you know, deliverance, or just, you know, anything. Just categorize it on the back. And on the front, you know, don't go in great detail because, you know, I want to preach. And I can't read all those if you go into great detail and write a book. But I want you to, you know, say, you know, on such and such date I was healed of this, or, you know, God met my need in this area. And I want to, we're going to use this in a few minutes in this teaching, and I want to show you some things, but while that's going on, go ahead and turn with me to Psalms 77. While we're doing that, you know, I could actually expound for just a minute on bearing the name Jesus. I don't think it would hurt, because we're just kind of treading water here for a minute. But you know, we are bearers of the name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. I mean, I got it. Dad was teaching, and I don't... He wasn't teaching necessarily on that specific point, but he mentioned it, and man, I tell you what, it hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, bearing the name Jesus. That's part of our name now. If you know, how many of you married? Raise your hand if you're married. Amen. And don't raise your right hand if you're writing, just keep on writing. But, you know, if you're married, women, you've taken on the name of your husband, right? The wives take on the name of the husband, and as they go on, now they're Amanda Strutton, you know, or Cecilia Williams, where she was De La Rosa, or she was Williams here. You know, you take on the name of the husband. And from that point on, you have access to, like Dad says, the bank account. You know, most likely, you know, you're together on mortgages or cars or whatever. You know, you work together. But whatever is in that bank account, whatever needs you have, you can go in the name of, if it's Sissy, you can go in the name of Williams. You can go write checks, cash checks, make payments, bills, you know, or withdrawals, whatever, in the name of Williams, because now she bears the name Williams. And anyway, I just got this revelation. You know, I am, my name, you know, it says that when Jesus comes back, he comes back for his bride. Amen. The church, Christians, the family, the body of Christ here, is the bride of Christ. And when we become Christians, our name changes. You know, I just, and you know, when I get to preach on this, we'll go through all these examples. But you know how many times that God used a name change in somebody's life to get them in faith? I mean, you talk about, you got Paul, who was Saul, and you have Abraham, who was Abram, and you have Peter, who was, you know, Simon. You have all these people. God changed their name so that they, when they use that, they could use that name and remember who they were. They could, you know, it was a name change to get them in faith, to get them in, to believe. And we as Christians, we have the name of Jesus. That is part. That's the name we bear now. Amen. So when I introduce myself to Fred, my name is Chris Williams, bearer of the name Jesus.
Pleased to meet you.
I mean, there's, wow. I mean, there's power in that. So when we walk about this earth, we bear the name Jesus. Amen. That's who we are. We're bearers of the name. We have the rights to all the bank account through the name of Jesus, whether it be financial or, you know, physical, whatever it is. We have the right to go make withdrawals because we bear the name Jesus. And how do we do that? We do it using the name. In Jesus' name, I say I am healed according to the Scriptures in Jesus' name, because that's the name I bear now. Isn't that good? Good stuff. Amen. So have you got done writing some of your, or have you been listening? It's okay. I understand. We'll give you just a few more minutes. But here in Psalms, talk about remembering what God's done for you. You know, it's important. You know, in Revelation, it talks about how they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You encourage yourself and you encourage others when you share your testimonies. When I was a kid, I tell you what, Dad mentioned this the other day, and it you know, kind of stuck in my memory again. But Dad, you know, mentioned that how that when they first got saved, or Dad first got saved and got real involved in church, they went to Bible studies and church services, and I mean every opportunity that they had to go and study the Word of God or fellowship with other people, they took advantage of it, and they drug me everywhere they went. You know, he said that the other day, well, we drug Chris all over the place, drug him to Bible studies, and I'll tell you what, I remember those times. I remember going to those places. I remember them, you know, sitting around and reading the Bible and praying and you know, having prayer services. I mean, when I was 5 years old, I remember praying for a lady that had, you know, legs that weren't even, and you know, sitting, I can tell you exactly where we were. You know, it's one of those things you never forget, you know, as a kid, and you're praying for this lady, and she had, her feet weren't just right, and she was sitting in the chair in our little dining area at an apartments, and this was actually in Pasadena, and it was right, the door was right here. I remember just distinctly sitting there, I was on my knees, and I prayed, and boy, her leg just grew right out. You know, but I remember sitting in those times listening to their stories about miracles that took place. I mean, healings. I tell you what, I'm a sucker for a good story. I love listening to good. How many of you like listening to good stories? I mean, whether it's hunting or fishing or if it's, you know, a trip, vacation you went on. I mean, I'll just sit and listen. I love listening to a good story. And I especially love listening to a good story, not necessarily a story per se, the truth about miracles that take place in people's lives. I mean, I eat it up. You can tell me about all the things God did for you, and if it takes 2 days, I'll still be sitting there listening. I mean, I just love listening to good miracles that take place. How many of you like that? Amen. I mean, okay, here's a few things whenever I was younger that I remember taking place. You know, when we went to Lakewood, they used to pray for people that had lower back and, you know, problems like that all the time. And I mean, I couldn't tell you how many times Brother Osteen would have somebody up on the front in front of everybody and, you know, on cameras and everything, and they would have this lady come up or this man come up and sit in a chair. They'd bring a chair, set them right in the middle of the auditorium or the stage up here and the platform, and he would pray for them. And right, I mean, you could see it. You know, it happened. You see screens or whatever. You could see the legs grow out. You could see. I remember seeing people come out of wheelchairs, and not just come out, you know, walking and, wow, no, come out running. I mean, running across and running up the aisles. I remember that taking place. You know, I can remember people, you know, the guy that came with a glass eye, didn't have an eye at all, just had a socket. He could see with or without the eyeball, you know, the glass eyeball in there. He could see with or without it. You take somebody's driver's license, he could read it off. I mean, I remember those things. That was awesome times. People falling out in the spirit and coming up healed, you know, cancer, Dodie Osteen being healed of cancer. I mean, I was there. I experienced a lot of that stuff. You know, and so whenever somebody has a need or somebody has, you know, a problem they're up against, you know, I can go back into that database and, you know, and file back and say, you know, I remember somebody that got healed, you know, just like the same situation. And you can encourage somebody by remembering. Amen? And so, anyway, you know, I could sit here and just go over that forever. And you probably would sit here for a little while listening, then you might have to go. But we want to get into the scripture too. In Psalm 77, I just want to read a few scriptures here, and then we're going to make a few references to another places and kind of tie this in together. And then, how many of you done? Are you all done with your cards? Okay, well, let's go ahead and if we can grab those, take those up and bring those up here to me, if y'all don't mind. Larry, if you don't mind, Henry, maybe. Pass those, you know, outside aisles or whatever just to help them out if you don't mind. And we're going to read those in a few minutes. Yeah, if you want to put your name on there, do that. Definitely. Definitely. Absolutely. And this is going to be good, y'all. Everybody say, this is going to be good. Say, I'm going to love it. Yeah, I know it's a little different, but I tell you what, I know God told me that this is what I need to minister on. As soon as I got the revelation of this message right here, this example was the first thing that came to mind for me to try to use. So I know this is going to be a good thing. You're going to love this. Love it. I can't wait. I know what I'm going to do, and y'all don't, and I'm so excited about it. So let's read Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest, Selah, stop and think about that. You know what the Selah means? Selah, S-E-L-A-H, means to stop and think about that. Okay, so let's go back for a minute. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been overwhelmed? Okay. Just think about that for a minute. Verse 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean, gone, or completely gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Have you ever been there? Boy, I tell you what, I've been there. Man, it just seems like nothing's going right. Now, he's not necessarily blaming God here. He's just having a bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? Bad week, and he's sitting here, and this is David, you know, the psalmist. I'm assuming maybe David. Could have been Solomon. I'm assuming David here. And, you know, he's in a bad time. But I want you to notice something that he does after this. He's obviously he's stating the facts. I tell you what, I don't know what to do. Is God not on my side? Oh, thank you, Larry. Is God not on my side anymore? What's going on? You know, is he forsaking me? But I tell you what, I'm having a bad time here. But he says here, after that, I want you to realize what happens, the psalmist does here. Verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of your right hand of the Most High, of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. He says, whoa, wait a second. You know, I might be having a bad day, but you know what? I remember God delivered me here. I remember God did this miracle here. I remember that God took care of me. And he spared the lives of these people over here, his people, and he's going to spare the life of me. He's going to spare my life. He starts remembering, and he says, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good gift. Everybody say every good gift. Okay, so that should X out, cut out all the bad stuff that happens in your life coming from God. It doesn't happen. The bad things that happen in your life are not from God. Say, they are not from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Okay? All the good in your life, that's God. All the bad in your life, that's the devil, you know, trying to get you down, trying to destroy you. All right, so it says here, I want to tie this in. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work, which has to be all the good things in my life. Not all the bad things, because that's not what God did. That's not the work of God. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. What does God do? Good. Good things. Wonders. Miracles. A miracle is not somebody losing their arm. A miracle is an arm growing out, you know, that wasn't there before. Or eyes, you know, blind eyes, pop, or ears, you know, that are deaf, being able to hear. I mean, miracles are things that are good. David, or who, the psalmist here, is encouraging himself by remembering all the good things. And by the end of this, boy, I mean, he's stirred up. He's stirred up. Let's turn over to chapter 78 real quick. Just the next chapter there, chapter 78. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I want to stop and I want to expound on something here. I have this wonderful Dakes, an annotated reference Bible here that has a really good example here. I think I have this marked. Oh, there it is. Okay. Give ear. You know, give ear is actually not even mentioned in the Old Testament, not one time. Neither is incline that ear, that, you know, the phrase there. Give ear is mentioned 32 times in the Old Testament, not once in the New. 21 times in the Old Testament is incline the ears, but it has some good meanings here. Give ear means to give heed and obey. So you're going to listen here to something because you need to listen in order to obey. So it says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Okay, incline is really neat meaning here. I'm visual, so I see this happening. You know, incline. What's an incline? Well, it's, you know, something kind of going up, you know. And it says here that, where does our help come from? Okay. All right, incline your ears to my words. It means to stretch out, put forth every effort to obey the law. Isn't that good? I mean, there was an example I remember growing up as a kid. As a child, kids or goats. As a child, I remember growing up, be correct here, an example, and I forget if it was one, I think it was our science teacher maybe that was using this example for us. And, you know, if you take your arms and you stretch, you know, them back and try to touch your, you know, back here, but keep your elbows straight, try to touch them, you know. Well, I mean, you can do it if you try really hard, you know. You know, and there's certain stretching things and reaching out things, and they tell you, you know, put your back in a door frame and, you know, try to go down, bend your knees. And one example she used was, you know, try to do something here. You know, bend over and touch your toes. I mean, not your knees, but your toes. Bend over, touch your toes. And they said, go as far as you can for a second or two and come right back up. Go as far as you can. And so, you know, go as far as you can. Come back up. And they would measure, you know, how far you could actually go down. I said, now, as if your life depended on it, go as far as you can. And everybody could go 2-3 inches further than they thought they could, because there was, you know, some reason to go down and bend down and touch their toes or whatever, you know, exercise it was. And they should use several different things. You know, we don't always put as much effort into things as we probably should. A lot of times we don't put as much effort into believing God as we should. You can always mark it down. You can always believe more, do more, live harder for Jesus. You can always stretch further to obey the laws. You can always do more. As much effort as you think you're putting into it, you can always go a little further. You can always go a little further. And that should be an encouragement to us that, hey, you know what? We're never going to plateau. We're never going to stop. You know, at a certain point, say, well, I've arrived and this is as far as I can go. But, you know, he's talking about giving ear and inclining the ears. He wants you to remember his laws, his commandments, and the things that he's done for you, because that's just going to bless you in the future. He's going to bless you in the problems or the things that come up. So I thought that was a good little example here. Incline your ear. And, you know, like I said, I was kind of visual, so I was thinking, you know, I'm as far as I can. Can I stretch it? I'm trying to get my ear so I could hear what he had to say for me, so I could do it. All right, let's go on. Is that a good analogy there, a good example? Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And this is kind of neat here. The dark sayings of old were like a cute hidden truth is the deal. But it's like, you know, secrets, you know. And, you know, everybody always says, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And he has dark sayings of old. He utters dark sayings of old. But he's actually revealing, he said, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. It's talking about things that believers should know and be able to use in life and better themselves. You know, he's talking about commandments, things that he's told people, that dark secrets of old or sayings of old. It kind of sounds, you know, ooh, mystical, but it's not. You know, because neither have entered the heart of man the things that God would have for him, but God hath revealed them to us. So many people forget to go on and read the rest of that where it says, you know, but God hath revealed those things, the thoughts and the ways. And when he was talking about thoughts being higher, or actually, I've not seen ears, not hers, where it says that. But when he's talking about the thoughts and ways, he's not even talking to Christians. He's talking to unbelievers, to the wicked man. My thoughts are not your thoughts, wicked man. Ways are not your ways, unrighteous man. You know, he's talking about the wicked and the unrighteous. He know his thoughts, his ways, his things that he has in store for us, what he has planned for us. He reveals to us by his Spirit, like Brother Mo talked to us this morning in class. Amen. All right. So goes on verse 3, which we have heard and known, our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And we're going to look at something here just a minute. We're not going to hide them from our children. We're going to share stories about Jesus meeting our needs. We're going to share stories about Jesus meeting other people's needs that we've experienced in our lives. We're going to share those to our children. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've got a revelation of. You know, I don't sit down, and I need to do this. I don't sit down with my boys and say, boys, you remember, or I can remember, you know, when I was your age, you know, God did this for me. He helped my family. He blessed us. You know, he did this for us. You know, if you ever need God, he's going to be there for you. You know, I do encourage them, you know, in other times, you know, if we pray for them, but I don't sit down and tell them stories, examples, you know, things that I remember when I was younger. I don't do that enough, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to. I take this as constructive criticism from God that I need to change my ways. We need to sit together. We need to fellowship together and just talk about old times, the good old times, the times that God brought us out of this situation or out of this mess, and the times that God healed us and delivered us out of this. Or, you know, we need to do that. We need to share that with our children. We need to pass that on. That's something we need to do as individuals with each other, adults. But man, you know, God forbid that our children, the next generation, don't understand the miracle-working power of God, the wonders that he has for us. I mean, our youth, it is so important that our youth experience miracles and wonders, and they hear stories about, you know, God meeting their needs, God in ever-present help. Right now, he's here right now to meet your need, to perform a miracle on your behalf if you need it. God is still alive and well. He's still kicking. He's still on the throne. He still moves when you pray. He's here to answer your needs. He's right here. I know that because I can remember all the times he's done it in the past. He's no respecter of persons, and it hasn't passed away. It's still good today for the believer, for whoever wants to say, you know, God, I need you. I need your help. He's going to move. Amen. Amen. God is on the move when you pray. We mentioned that earlier. But we need to pass that on. We need to share that with other people. There's so many new Christians. You know, I know coming into churches like this new family back here, you know, I'm not sure their background, their past, but you know, just even a new Christian that comes in, you know, newly saved, you know, coming into the fold, well, we rejoice and we're excited about all that. But, you know, we don't need to just encourage them to stay saved and to stay in church. But we need to share with them the power, the miracle-working power of God and what He can do for them. You know, we need to share with them experiences. You know, when they have trouble, and it's going to come, you know, the devil's going to come quick to try to get a newly, you know, saved person to you know, get back out and backslide or whatever. And, you know, every time that, you know, problem comes up in their lives, we need to share with them, obviously, that God's on their side and God's for them, not against them, and that they can make it. They're the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, and that blessed and not cursed, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And tell them all those things about scriptures. But hey, we need to share some examples. You know what? I was there once. Yeah, I was there. I experienced the same. The devil came against me the same way. He tried to get me down. He tried to get me to talk bad about God. He tried to ruin my faith, to make me waver and get, you know, messed up all in my head. But you know what? You know, I stood on the Word of God. I tell you, God worked a miracle in my life. He brought me out of that. You can do the same thing. Encourage them. You know, hold your place in Psalm 78 there real quick. Let's turn over to 1 Peter? 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter, first chapter. And Peter he's actually, you know, is talking about just different things, you know, as far as qualities that we should have in our lives. You know, let's go to start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith, say that's me. Is that all of you? Say, that's me.
That's me.
All right. Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power hath He given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And it goes over, and you know, several things here. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And he goes on, he says in verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. In remembrance. Everybody say in remembrance. Of these things. Though you know them and have been established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, necessary, proper, as long as I am in this body right here, as long as I'm alive and well on this earth, to stir you up. Everybody say, stir me up. The Word of God, the testimonies of God are going to stir you up. I mean, they're going to. If you will go over, meditate, mumble, mutter all the good things that God's done for you and the commandments He's given you to do and say, you know, if I do this, I'm going to be blessed. If I do this, God's going to bless me. He's going to meet my need. If you go over, well, God did this for me. He did this for so-and-so. And He did this for so-and-so. He's no respecter of persons. He's still alive and well today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you just mumble and mutter over all those things, you put those things in your remembrance, then you will get stirred up. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Putting you in remembrance. It's important. He thought it was important that they remember. You know, He says, hey, I know you know this. You're established in this. I don't have to tell you this, but I do. So that you're stirred up. So that you remember. You know, if you don't remember it, you don't use it, you lose it. You forget. You know, I can't remember all the details of all the miracles that I've seen take place, mostly at Lakewood, most of those things at Lakewood. I experienced a miracle. I wasn't standing there when it happened, you know, like face-to-face, but experienced a miracle that happened over in Fort Worth at Harold and Lou Nichols Church that, you know, I personally was involved in. You know, I had a kind of an open vision of a gentleman that was standing with blue jeans and a brace on his knee, and it was like he was working. And I mean, very specific. I don't think I've ever had anything like this. It was very specific like this. he was, I knew it was a guy, and he was working, and he was having some trouble with his knees, and he was hurting him. He would, it's like he was working at this table or counter or something, and I could see him just, he would just go over and just, man, just hold his knee, and just, you know, I could just see the pain that he was going through, and he would stand up, and he'd try to work some more, and boy, he'd just go down and hurt it, you know. And, you know, I thought of that this morning when Brother Mo was talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. I really had trouble deciphering there for a minute. You know, I kept literally shaking my head, like, you know, I've got to be making this up, you know. It's just, you know, I'm a very visual person. I thought, man, I'm just making this up. This is, and it wouldn't go away. And we was in the worship service. I say that they were actually praying for people, but there was worship going on, and we were just sitting there praising God. And I was standing by Mom, and I couldn't shake it, you know. And it was one of those things that the Spirit of God was speaking to me, and so I leaned over and I told Mom. I said, Mom, I really got something here. And I said, you know, I just can't get rid of it. Can't shake it. And she says, well, if you can't get rid of it, you need to go tell your dad. And Dad was ministering at the front, and him and I think it was Don Aldridge, I believe, that was up there at the front ministering. Anyway, I went down, and I spoke to Don. Dad was up here, and Don was off to the side, and I caught Don, and I explained to him. And so I said, just let Dad know. So he goes and tells Dad, and I get halfway back, and Dad says, Chris, come back up here. You know, Chris, you know, has something that he wants to share. And so I did, and some... they did a call for these, and two or three ladies, I don't remember how many it is, two or three ladies came up. I did not have a release. It was not the person. But we prayed for them, believed God they're healed, you know, and I also knew it was a sports-related injury. Several specific things that, you know, God spoke to me. And anyway, so went on. I didn't really have a release about it. Went back to my chair. Service ended. We were up at the front talking. Dad, you know, several ministers there. Jerry Seville was there, I believe. Of course, Harold and the Nichols were there. And we were just kind of, you know, talking, fellowshipping. And the sound guy comes running down. And he was up in a big booth way up in the balcony area. And the whole time we're up there, you know, asking for people. He's up there raising his hand, you know, trying to get our attention. And he can't, nobody saw him. Nobody saw him up there. And he said, as soon as... You know, I'm sitting there, he said, I'm just trying to get y'all's attention. And as soon as you started praying for those people, and I, you know, obviously wasn't going to get down, he said, his knee just healed instantly. Miracle took place. He had injured his knee, I think skiing, or I'm getting them mixed up because there was one of the ladies, I think, was a skiing accident. Turned out it was his wife. He had injured it playing football or racquetball, whatever. He had to stand up at his job to work. He actually stood up at work, and he says it had been really started bothering him, this, and he had to wear a brace all the time. But he was instantly healed. Yeah. Instantly healed. Anybody have knee injury problems that you have, you know, problems with in your knees that give you problems? You know, I know Dad for a while has, you know, had a few problems with his knees, but he's healed in Jesus' name. But, I mean, any kind of joint problems, you know, injury, sports injuries, just take that and use that in your life. I mean, that good? I mean, wow. Man, when he came down and said that, I mean, I was just, and it, I had to release. Whew. I mean, he came up and said all the things, you know. I injured this thing when I was playing football, whatever. I stand up at work, and I didn't give all those details whenever I said, you know, somebody's had a, you know, I did say a sports-related injury in your knee, and God wants to heal you. And I didn't share with him that I knew he stood up at work and, you know, had to wear this brace. But, you know, that's just confirmation. And that's what God wants us to do. Just like I just did right now. He wants us to share those things. Amen. I want you to look at one more thing. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. And then we're going to use our example and close out. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. Is this good? Good stuff? I want it to bless you. Amen, amen. Deuteronomy means a second giving of the law. They were given the commandments. Moses is the children of Israel roaming through the wilderness here, and they had been given the commandments, and then in Deuteronomy they give the commandments again, and they're kind of, you know, they've gone through, they've had a few battles actually, and God's kind of brought them through some things, and you know, all also there's been, you know, they've come up to the near the river here, the Jordan, and there, and God's kind of preparing them to go into the land, and in essence, Moses is being a leader here, and he's stirring the people up and talking to them and all this stuff. Anyway, the murmurs, the ones that didn't believe, in fact, there's a word in here that's kind of neat. In verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Everyone that did cleave, follow in obedience. Everybody that follows the Lord in obedience will still be alive today. You know, they'll still be alive and well. When the devil comes and attacks you, you need to cleave unto the Lord. You need to follow in obedience. And I thought that was neat. But the people that didn't, you know, were destroyed. God obviously couldn't bless them. And I want you to remember this, too. This is Old Testament. We're under a new covenant. We're under a better covenant, better promises. We have a better relationship with God. He's our Father God now. You know, we're righteous and holy. We've been made holy by the blood of Jesus. But anyway, it's a neat example here. And it talks about this in Psalms, and I didn't read all that all the way through, but it talks about it in Psalms where it says in the days of old they told their children, they, you know, shared with their children. We mentioned that in Psalms there. But here it says, verse 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Well, that's a testimony of God's, promises coming true. Yep. Amen. I mean, every one of you. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I get stirred up about that. Verse 5, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, this great people, this body of Christ, children of the living God here, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Well, what were they so wise about and so understanding about that they were supposed to cleave unto the Lord, follow and obey Him? They didn't have to know how they were going to get out of every situation. They didn't have to know how God was going to meet their needs. All they had to know was that He was going to do it if they obeyed Him, if they obeyed His statutes. I think uses the foolish to confound the wise. Some people are just too smart. You know, Dad taught a message on you can be too smart to get this. And you can. You can. You can be too smart to get this. When Dodie, I want to share this just for a second. Dodie was fighting the battle of the cancer, metastatic cancer of the liver, which is an awesome testimony. She was healed. You know, can't go into great detail for sake of time, but she was sent home with 2 weeks left to live. She was going to die, and they needed a miracle. Brother Osteen and Dodie says, we're going to get one. Doctor says, you know, or we believe in miracles, and the doctor says, well, you're going to need one. Brother Osteen says, well, we're going to get one. You know, that's how matter-of-fact they were, and she got delivered and healed, and, you know, she, through confession and believing, standing on the Word of God, faith, I mean, talking about strong faith. But, you know, during that time, their son Paul, their oldest son Paul, was a doctor. He was actually a medical doctor. And he had a hard time, had a very hard time with believing that she was going to be healed because he just knew too much. He knew too much. Now, Paul's a great guy. He's actually left the medical field and is back in, you know, Lakewood helping them, just being a servant, you know, at Lakewood. Nice guy. I knew him when I was younger. I don't remember knowing him then, but I knew of him, and he came and visited several times. But last time that Sissy and Brad and I were down at Lakewood and went down and sat with the Osteen family, he's the one we sat beside Paul. And he was just, I mean, nicest guy you ever meet, you know, just full of love. But, you know, he knew a little too much back then. And he had a battle, real battle with that, you know, believing with his mom that she was going to live. So you can know too much. You just need to realize and know that God's going to deliver you. If you do what He says to do, if you stand and believe, the fight of faith is the only thing you have to fight. You don't have to fight the fight of wisdom and supernatural, scientific, natural knowledge, you know, biological knowledge. I don't have to know everything about how this body works to know that God can heal me. I don't know how that, you know, God, all I need to know is God made this body, and if it's messed up, He can fix it. God made the earth, and He put everything in motion here. If something goes awry, the storms start coming, ask God, and He can fix it. He can stop the storms. And so, anyway, that's all we need to know. Let's go on. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who God hath so nigh, hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? He's going to meet your need. Every time you call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. Amen. Every time you call on Him, He's going to be there. He's in everything that you call upon, you know, for help for. Verse 8, and what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? Verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen. They've seen miracle after miracle in this wilderness. They've been fed. They've been, you know, clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. Hallelujah. Man, I bought some tennis shoes. And I'm just hard on tennis shoes, but I bought some tennis shoes here lately, and this doesn't seem like that. You know, they just weren't made like they used to be. Man, wear out. You know, and tennis shoes are expensive. You know, I try to find them on clearance and half price clearance. You know, when I buy them, because you know, and then they go to wearing out on you. But anyway, whew. Okay. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have. It does not want you to forget. How do you not forget? Remember. I think I taught on remember one time. Remember. What is a member? It's part of something. A member of a church is part of a church. A church is a whole, it's a unit. And a member is connected. You've got an arm here that's a member of your body. And when you remember, you reconnect with that part. You reattach, reconnect. Okay? So when things happen in your life and that, you know, good things God's done, we need to reattach ourselves with that experience. We need to rejoin ourselves to that memory. That's right. It stirs us up, builds our faith. Okay. Verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Oreb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Verse 9, back to the end there, verse 9, it says, but teach thy son, them thy sons, and thy sons' sons. I think in chapter 6, it talks about the same thing. We don't have time to get into all that. Teach them. Remember them. Don't just share them with other people that you know. Share them with your children. Share those experiences with your children. Now, here we go. Y'all ready? You can close your Bibles. We're almost done here. Almost done. We're going to pray over these prayer requests in just a minute. But I've got one here. This is healing. Vance Brown. Healing. 18 years ago, granddaughter was born 3 months early. God was with her always, and she is perfect and healthy. Perfect and healthy. Isn't that awesome? Great testimony. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. That's awesome. Okay, Lori was healing. When she was 19, had a major car wreck. Lacerated your liver. And everyone in the family was told that she wouldn't make it. Pastor came to the hospital and prayed, and obviously, she's still here. Amen. That's awesome. I probably won't be able to get to all these, but, you know, I want to read a couple of them. Let's see here. Wheelers. Children. They got 4 wonderful children. Isn't that awesome? believing for children. God can give you children more ways than one, obviously. You can adopt. Many children need homes, you know, that are orphans, need families. We got several people that have done that in this church. Banji, 1998, diagnosed with cancer, underwent 52 treatments of chemo and surgery, but the Lord healed her, and there's no trace of cancer in her life today. Awesome stuff. Here's one. Deliverance. We'll say deliverance from addiction. She was still in, while she was in sin, Lord Jesus delivered her from drinking booze. She was an alcoholic for 30 years until Jesus delivered her. I did not know that, and that is awesome. It's awesome. Kalita. Sherry Weeks needed a car, believed God, and one day, suddenly, wow, just coincidentally, God blessed her with cash to pay for her car. Wow. Okay, now, so here's what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. Anybody here need a new car? Anybody believing for a car? Believing for a good vehicle? Anybody? Raise your hand if you are. Fred, let me give one to Fred. Fred, you take that. And I want you to read that whenever you need a new car and you're believing God for it. I want you to remember that. That God bless Sherry with a car. Fred was healed. Says, this is awesome. Healing. You need healing. I'm going to give this one to you. It says, this is Fred. Healed every time I have prayed or been prayed for because I believe. Amen. He was healed every time.
Every time. Right.
Every time. You need healing. All right. This one's mine. Sorry. Jerry Kennedy, healing. Had a torn rotator cuff in both shoulders. Doctor said surgery was the only way. I decided to believe God and was made whole. Amen. I've got some shoulder problems here that are healed in Jesus' name. We'll photocopy this one. We'll photocopy this one, and you can have a copy too. I'm going to say this one right here. Okay, I'm healed. Recently had some physical situations. I woke up, and every time I moved my arm this way, my whole arm went boom and numb, and I couldn't feel it. So it started tingling all that. But I tell you what, went to Mom and Dad's. Mom and Dad prayed for me. This was just two mornings ago. Prayed for me. Didn't have any more problems all day long. Healed. I'm healed. Okay, this is Mary Bass. Some salvation, deliverance, physical healing, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. She was deliverance from manic depression, chemical imbalance. Anybody have any problems with, want to get delivered of some depression times, you just kind of get down and dumps? Hey, and I'm not trying to point anybody out here, okay? We're a family, and we're going to pray and believe God for you. You're going to be delivered from all this stuff, but just maybe need some encouragement, okay? That's one of them here if you need that. God stopped a fire from burning a house. Pastor was on fire, burning towards the house. This is Marceline. Who's this? Oh, is it? How do you say your name?
Marceline.
Very good, Marceline. And so she was protected, and also spared from a financial expense. Amen. Amen. Fred, you almost had something like that happen. Yeah, a tree could have fallen on his house, and it didn't. He did have to do some work, with cutting the tree and fixing the electrical lines. God spared him. Anybody want to believe God? You're near a big pasture that could catch on fire. Amen. Here's one. Whitney here says, God gives the power to get wealth. Earned her second career car in Mary Kay, and her income has increased $500 monthly. Woo. Increase in finances here. Anybody want, looking for a good, there you go. Hey, I think we could all raise our hand on that one. She just beat y'all to it. This is deliverance. No name here, doesn't have to be. It says, God has delivered me from quitting when the going gets tough. Philippians 4:13. Anybody want some encouragement not to quit? Anybody? Okay, I'm going to have to. I'll tear it in half. Photocopy after the service. Photocopy. Okay. Let's see here. I've got this. I can't read them all. We'll read a couple more. This is another one, too. This is a good one about birth, baby. Mindy Hilferty. Praise God. That God made sure Elise Faith was not born until she was ready, even though the doctor said she would come early. Amen. Where's Mindy? All right, there you are. Good job, Mindy. Believe in God. Children, you want that one. There you go.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Salary raise, bonuses, finances, and then also Sam and Nate coming to live with us, being blessed with some children. Anybody want this one? Anybody? Salary raise. Hey, I'll keep it. That's okay. And the kids. You know, I really don't want to have any more kids. I really wanted a girl. So I might have to just go find me a girl. Baby girl somewhere. Yes. Yes. Yes, physical healing too. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody, cancer, anybody battling any cancer or cancer in your family maybe? Just members, anybody? Yeah? Fred?
Yeah.
You already have one?
I have one.
Okay. Photocopy that. And Robert is going to take this one. Okay, anybody been in a car wreck recently that had battling some physical problems? Is that what those crutches are for there? No, okay, here. Car wreck, there you go. Healed, Jesus' name. Healed. Okay. Billy. Thought it was yours? Okay, let's see. The fires. Jesus Christ. Okay. Anybody deliverance from any kind of addiction? Any kind of addiction? Anybody? And now I said, if this is family members too, is it really you or is it a family member? I know somebody that has a problem. Francis. And I almost messed up and read Jerry's card again. I had to give that one wave. I'm keeping that one right here. We're going to photocopy that one. Okay. Okay, and I tell you what, I know it's after 12. We're going to pray over these, but I want to do one more thing. Here's one. God has met our needs many times financially over and over. When Travis has been unable to work, money has always come in. Always come in. Anybody? Anybody? Always meet your needs financially. Amen. I had a hand back up here first, Mary Beth, but I'll get you one in just a second. She is, tell you what, you got to be quick on the trigger. I mean, this is like, what was the show where, you went up there and did the little, pyramid? Was it Million Dollar Pyramid or the?
Family Feud.
Family Feud? Was it Family Feud? Yeah, there you go, Family Feud. Ooh, dating myself. Okay, I think, let's see here, some deliverance. Eva's testimony of deliverance went to Terrell to eat with Maury. I'm trying to read this fast and correctly. Left out of the, what's that?
Chinatown. A restaurant.
Oh, the restaurant, okay. Told Maury she needed to go shop next door. Went inside, the owner began to pray in tongues, and she said, God sent you to come with me into the back room. A young mother was there, had been addicted to crack, held in her arms, prayed for, just to let her feel the love from God, prayed for deliverance, and the devil had to let go, and Jesus saved her and delivered her.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? Amen. Deliverance. Anybody else? Deliverance. Okay. Oh, deliverance. There we go. There's one more. All right, Fred, can you take that back to her? Okay. Now, real quick. I have some more. If y'all want to come, you know, if somebody wants to come up here and look at these after the service and you want to pick one up, I want you to take it. Remember what God's done for you. And these testimonies here are going to stir you up. I mean, that's what I'm believing God. They're going to stir you up.